Before we get started, is there a Karen here? A Karen? All right. Does somebody know a Karen? Is there a Megan here? So there's two words I've been getting. Was two names is Megan and Karen, and I didn't know if they were connected. But here's I felt like the Lord was saying for both Karen and Megan. So if you know a Karen, tell them this word. Believe it. But what I kept hearing was the heart, and that the Lord has been doing some things inside of your heart, and that He loves your heart. He loves your gumption, I guess would be another way of saying it. That there's a quiet boldness inside of your heart that God sees and He loves and He appreciates. And what He's doing in that is that He's going to continue to foster healing inside of your heart so that your heart, what's on the inside, will be displayed on the outside for Him. And He's going to give you a season of rest, but He's going to take you into a season of promotion as well. And it was just very strong. So both Karen and Megan on that. So, and if your name's not Karen or Megan, but you're a child of God, take it, grab a hold of it. But I believe that was very specifically for Karen and Megan too. So I'm super excited about today. We've been planning this day for a little while, or trying to get on a calendar where we'll work out. But as Legacy Church, we're an elder-governed church, and our elders have been external elders, meaning they don't reside here in New Braunfels. They've really served as an apostolic cover for us. And there's been questions about how can we meet all the elders together. And Jimmy Darnell preached a couple weeks ago, and he and Beth are here with us. And so we're really excited that you guys are with us and welcome you. So why don't you give him a welcome. And I'm going to introduce Michael and Teresa in a second, but Daryl and Connie Feimster, who are in Lampasas, they will be here at 2 o'clock. So if you got my email this week, when I first initially set it up, I thought about doing it tonight, because the Cowboys started stinking the joint up so early in the season. I honestly forgot about, this is the first time I forgot about Super Bowl in years. And so somebody goes, I don't think people are going to show up for 5 o'clock. And I'm like, well, why? Why not? And Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, okay, that would be a reason. And I didn't say it was a good reason, but it'd be a reason. And so we decided to do from 2 to 4 today out in one of the portables. We're going to have, and it's limited seating. I think we can fit probably 60 people inside that room. But welcome you just to come back, and we're going to do a Q&A session with all three of our external elders plus me, and really just talk about vision, heart, and get a chance for you guys to really get to know their heart, because they're amazing, amazing couples. Not just the men who are elders, but their wives are amazing as well, and we are so blessed. I feel like I've been able to build a relationship with them and get the benefit of the years' experience and their love for Jesus, and it's benefited our church, but I want y'all to get a chance to do that. So that'll be today from 2 to 4 today, but this morning, I want to invite Michael Dyer and his wonderful wife, Teresa, is with us as well from Amarillo. Michael serves as an associate pastor for TFAC, which is Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. That's the association we belong to, our cover. And in addition to being part of TFAC for a while, when we needed to appoint some eldership, I went to them because they were already providing cover for us. And we're in this process of raising up internal elders, but until that season, we need to have wisdom and guidance that comes. And so Michael's been, especially this last couple years, such a voice and a heart that I could turn to and go, help me, pray, understand, wisdom, things like that, and has really helped us to guide through some different seasons of our life as a church. And so it's my great honor to welcome up Michael Dyer from TFAC of Amarillo. So why don't you all stand up and give just a warm welcome to Michael. You want down there, you want up here.
Good morning, everybody. Bring you greetings from Amarillo. Am I on? Sounds like I'm talking to myself. And I feel really high up. My nose might start bleeding here in a minute. I have fallen off the stage before, so if I do, don't worry about it, I'll live over it. It's good to be with you this morning. This is my lovely wife, Teresa. Would you stand up and let them look at you? As you can see, I married way over my head. Well, Jay said I could have 20 minutes because that's all he preaches. Is that right? Is that what he said? Love your pastor and his wife. We've known each other for a couple of years now. And I firmly believe that a pastor is called to a city, not just a church. And that doesn't mean he's the only one called to this city, because all of the pastors are called to pastor this city. And it's a hard job. It's a hard job pastoring a church, but it's also a hard job pastoring a city. But let me tell you who has the hardest job, and that's his wife, Kelly. Pastor's wife has the hardest job of all. I think Beth would agree with me and Teresa would agree with me that a pastor's wife is a hard position to walk in, because she has to keep her mouth shut. She has to take the frustrations and the brunt of the frustrations, and so it's difficult, and she does it very well. And I'm glad to be a part of your lives. Well, what day is it?
Sunday.
What? It's game day, right? How many Cowboy fans? Okay, good. Well, they're not in it. How many Panther fans? God bless you. Broncos. Yeah. All right. How many Spurs? I'm sorry, they're not in it either. Okay. Well, it's a good day. And I don't trust technology. Sorry. But I'm going to use it. That's why I have my paper notes right here. Okay? But it's a technological, is that the right word, age that we live in. So I'm trying. I'm really trying. But give me a big cheap tablet and a number two pencil and I'm happy. And I'll be in good shape when the electricity goes off. All right? Well, I want to share with you the Word of God this morning. And if I can get this thing to work. The world seems to be in a mess. Would you agree? The kingdom of God, as the scripture says, is taking violent attacks. And it looks like the church is not winning. But I want you to know that God's still on the throne. His enemies are still his footstool. And he's not surprised by Donald Trump or anything else that's happening in the world. Nothing takes him off guard. And the scripture says we've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. To overthrow. Until he comes, whose right it is to rule and reign. Now, as Pastor Jay said a couple of times in his remarks this morning, do you think we need revival?
Yes.
What does that look like? I ask this question a lot, and I'm trying to decide what that looks like myself. Now, I can read history, and so we've had a great awakening. We've had a Pentecostal movement. We've had a charismatic renewal. We've had a third wave. We've had moves of God in various forms throughout history. And I believe we are poised on one of the greatest revivals of all time.
Amen.
I think the time is now.
Amen.
This is the day of the Lord, and the time is now. Now, to have revival, there first has to be life. There has to be something that's alive, that has faded, dimmed, even died, for there to be revival. And I don't think I've been a Christian for well over 40 years. I don't think I've ever seen the church in the condition it's in today, and the tolerance and the moral decay in our society, and a church that's supposed to be the light and the salt of the earth, just saying, well, that's the way it is. Not anything we can do about it. Oh, yes, there is. We have the authority of God, and we've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And what I want to say to you this morning, you're not here by accident. You may think you are. You may think, well, I come to hear Jay this morning. I didn't know if we was going to have a visiting preacher. That's okay. It's God, no matter who's talking. And he can talk through a donkey, if that gives you any clue. And so you're not here by accident. God thinks you need to hear what I'm going to say. And I want to say this to you as a corporate body in reference to revival. If not you, who? If not here, where? And if not now, when? God always begins with a man and ends with a people. He always begins with something small and ends with something great. And let me tell you something. You think to yourselves, well, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't want to forget you guys over here, okay? So I'll walk over here and look at you every now and then. You may think that I'm just an ordinary person and I can't do anything for God, and you don't know my past and how bad I've been and the things that I've done. Let me tell you something. God has a way of doing extraordinary things through ordinary people and accomplishes great and mighty things through ordinary people. So if not you, who? It could start right here in New Braunfels. I understand this is a growing city. I understand that the corridor, the I-35 corridor from San Antonio to Austin, is the fastest growing area in the United States. 25,000 people expected to populate here next year. If not you, who? You have a great opportunity. 25,000 people. What is that? What's the population of New Braunfels? 50,000? I can't hear you. 56. I was pretty close. 65. 56, 65. All right. Good. How many churches in town would you say? 100? 50? 30? Well, you need more churches if there's just 30. And how many people of this 65,000 in New Braunfels would you say are not in church today? Not because they don't have a place to go, or that they're too crowded, because I can see there are a lot of empty seats here. 95%? You may be close. The experts say at least 75% are not in church and don't want to be in church. Doesn't have anything for them. So the opportunity is great for this church. Now, I want you to look at something. This chart. Yeah, that one right there. And you probably can't see the numbers, but you can read at the top. It says historical estimates of world population. And on the left-hand side is the population by billions, and it goes from 0 to 10. So 0 to 10 billion. The numbers on the bottom are the years by 500 increments. So the year 0 or 1 AD to the year 2500. How many of you remember the old song, "In the Year 2525? Well, we're getting there. In 1965, that sounded like a long way off. But so looking at the next slide, that yellow graph mark there represents 100 years, 1950 to 2050. 1950 to 2050. How many of you can remember 1950? I don't, because I was born in 1951. 1951 was a very good year. But this is an estimate of the population growth for this 100-year period from 1950 to 2050. Now, we're 2016, and so we're on the downhill slide of that 100 years. Now, if you'll look at this next chart, see those lines? There's a red and a blue line, and one represents a low estimate, and the other one represents a high estimate. But when it starts up, they both come together. That's the population of the planet. And if you look at 1900 there, and then over to about, or 1500, and then over to about the line going up before the yellow would be 1900, all right? And so about 1800 to 1900, the population started increasing. Now, I want you to let this soak in. And you'll understand what I mean when I say you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. By 2050, you see the top of the red line? That represents 9 billion people. In 1950, we had 2 billion. 2 billion. So in this short span of time, we've increased the population by 7 billion people. Is that not phenomenal? Do you think God knows what he's doing? And you're here in this time frame. We as the Church of Jesus Christ are here in this time frame to make a difference, to be effective, to be salt, and to be light. Now, of that increase of 7 billion people on the planet, many are coming to know Jesus, more so in other countries than in the United States. And just as a side note, and this doesn't have a whole lot to do with anything, but it's kind of in the news today, Muslims are the easiest to win to Jesus of any ethnicity group. Glad I got that out. They're the easiest. Why? Because their religion gives no hope. You pretty much got to die in a war to make it to heaven. But when you tell them about Jesus, when you tell them about heaven, they say yes. Now, it cost them something to believe. It cost them their family. It cost them their possessions. In some cases, as you see on the news, it cost them their life. But they're willing to give their life. I'm amazed. When they marched those 21 guys out on the sands of the shore of the Mediterranean Sea over there and cut their heads off, I would be trying to break and run. They'd have to shoot me in the back. But they just kneeled down. And it is commonly reported that one of them wasn't a Christian, but because of the faith and the courage that he saw in the other 20, he gave his life to Jesus and was given the opportunity to recant and repent. And he wouldn't do it. Gave his life for Jesus right there. And he cut his head off. So an amazing opportunity we have in our lifetime. And I plan on making it to 2050. I know that's a lot of years, Jerry, but I plan on getting there. So I want to share with you three power principles for dynamic living, for effective living. And let me just give them to you right here. The power of pure grace, the power of urgent prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Pure grace, urgent prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Back up one slide. There you go. those three scriptures, I want to start at the bottom. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Now, let me say that again. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, we have a lot of word today in the church and out of the church. There's a lot of bloviating and blathering going on. If you don't believe it, watch some of the debates, the political debates. A lot of blathering. And they'll say anything to get elected. But the kingdom of God is not in word. It is in power, and it's his power. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All authority is given unto me, not only in heaven, but also in the earth. And his commandment to us from that point was, "Go ye therefore into all the world." Go in this power. The authority that I have, I'm giving to you. The power that I have demonstrated, you have that power. You are my body. You are my extension of life. You are my hands to touch with. You're my eyes to see with compassion. You're my feet to carry the good news to all the world. Go in that power. Go in that authority. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Preach the good news. He says, that's what I was called to do, so I'm calling you to do that. That is our mission. That is our job. That's why we're here. We're not here to sit in a pew and breathe good air until Jesus comes. Unpack your suitcase. He ain't coming for a while. Okay? Pick up your sword. It's time to do some warfare. We got a sick world, and we have the only cure. 2 Corinthians 4:7. "We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." If I could show you, give you the exact location of a buried treasure, would you want a shovel? Sure you would. The scripture says, that passage starts in Corinthians with, "We have this ministry." And in verse 7 says, "We have a treasure in an earthen vessel." That earthen vessel is us. And that treasure is Jesus Christ. And he indwells us. He lives in us. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And so when Jesus was speaking to his disciples on the night in which he was delivered, they'd finished the Last Supper. And he made this statement in response to Thomas, who said, "We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way, and we don't know how to get there." And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." All right. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The way is pure grace. The truth is urgent prayer. And the life is the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Okay? Let's talk about grace. One of my favorite subjects. You say, what do you mean by pure grace? Well, grace can be perverted either way. And so when I'm talking about grace, I'm not talking about license. I'm not talking about liberty to do anything you want to do. Now, you can. Paul says, I have that liberty. I can eat anything I want to. I can do anything I want to. But here's what I choose. I choose not to offend my brother. I choose to do the right thing. I choose to honor God. I choose to do. You see, grace, pure grace, changes your want to. The Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. Oh, boy, I'm going to get a lot of money. I'm going to get a big house. Now, that's not what that means. Because he changes your desires to his desires. And when he says he gives you the desires of your heart, it's really his desires that he's put in you. And he gives you those desires. What are your dreams this morning? What are your desires as the church in New Braunfels, as the body of Christ in this place, in this time? What are the desires of your heart? God has the grace. God has the power for you to accomplish those desires. I look like Marco Rubio trying to get a drink of water here, don't I? His mistake was when he looked into the camera like a deer looking into headlights. It had just been cool and calm, you know, it had been okay. Some of you don't remember that. That was 4 years ago. Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables you to live an effective Christian life. Knowing who we are in Christ and why we're here releases the power of God in our lives. You see, it's not God's intention to put us down. It's God's intention to lift us up. So most Christians live in the result of identity theft. The devil steals our identity from us. When you know who you are, why you're here, and that you're a son of God, a daughter of God, then you can be effective in your Christian living, in your Christian walk. You can be effective. You can be dynamic. You can be that ordinary that God does extraordinary things through. Pure grace. Tap into it. Because here's what happens. If you believe the truth about yourself, of what God says about you, you will start acting like it. If you believe what God says about you, you'll start acting like it. And that's the goal. That's the objective. For it's the Holy Spirit that is in us, changing us to look more like Him, to act more like Him. Okay. Let's go to the next one. I'm running out of my 20 minutes here. The power of urgent prayer. And I've just got three scriptures there, and I want to talk about this just briefly, because this is a no-brainer, guys. Has anybody ever read Paul Bilheimer's book, Destined for the Throne? Yeah. Destined for the Throne. He makes a statement in that stuck with me for 40 years here. God does nothing except an answer to the prayers of His people. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a pretty powerful statement. Is God sovereign? Yes. Can He do what He wants to? Yes. But what does He choose to do? He chooses to cooperate with you. We're His instruments in the earth. He gives us everything we need to accomplish the task. But He chooses to work through His people. Could He just make everybody get saved in the blink of an eye? Yes. Could He abolish sin and wickedness and disease and hurt and pain in all the world in a twinkling of an eye? Yes, He could. But He chooses to work through His people. The power of urgent prayer. You've heard the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Jesus said, and I want you to remember this verse. This is so powerful. We're going to do this in a minute. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, that's pretty plain. And, of course, Acts 4:31. I love this verse. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. The place was shaken. When's the last time you had a prayer meeting like that? If we humble ourselves and pray, He'll hear from heaven. If we agree together as touching anything, He'll do it. And when we pray, demons tremble, hell shakes. The gates of hell cannot stand against the church of the living God. The third one, the life. The life. The power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." As I said before, the Holy Spirit is the agent of change in your life. He brings revelation and gives illumination to us. He reveals to us the plan and the purpose of God. And he speaks to us on a daily basis in that still small voice saying, go here, go there, do this, do that. Pray for, let me encourage you, pray for divine arrangements, divine connections. God brings people across your path every day that just need a touch from him, a kind word, a smile. And you never know what door that will open in their lives. They're waiting for somebody to show them Jesus. Not just in word, talk to them, but show them Jesus. Touch their heart. Touch their life. Show them you care. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Let it come out. Now I want to take you to Mark chapter 4. And this is... This is really what I want you to get a hold of. There, in this chapter, Mark 4, verse 35 through verse 1 of chapter 5, Jesus, they've just been through a time of Jesus talking to them about the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed and all of those things. And it says they get into a boat. And Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. Let's cross over to the other side. I want to encourage you this morning to cross over. Let's cross over. Now, when Jesus got in the boat, he lay down and went to sleep. Well, in the trip over the Sea of Galilee, which wasn't very far, there was a storm that come up. Teresa and I have been to Israel, and they say that's quite common. You can be out on those waters and be dead calm, and just in a minute, you're like this. Wind is blowing, and the waves are beating against the boat. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples began to fear and woke him up and said, Master, there's a storm. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here. Is this okay, Jimmy? Can you just hear Jesus saying, take care of it? They're saying, but Master, it's a storm and we're going to perish. We're going to die. And he's, take care of it. How many times do we say to the Lord, God, don't you see what's happening down here? Don't you see my predicament? God says, take care of it. You have the authority. He said, I've done everything for you. I stepped out of the realms of heaven and into time, space, and became a man and lived and died for you. But not only that, when I ascended back to my throne, I sent you the Holy Spirit. My Spirit to not only be with you, but in you. And you remember Jesus saying to disciples, it's good that I go away. And they said, oh, no, it's not good. We've got all these messes and predicaments, and we get sick, and we get hungry, and you multiply the loaves and the fishes, and you touch us, and we get healed. And if somebody dies, you raise them from the dead. And he said, no, it's good that I go away. But I'll not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter to you. And he'll not only be with you, but he'll be in you. And whereas I was limited in time, space, now you can go in all the world and do what I did. And the works you see me doing, you'll do greater works than these. Do y'all believe that? Greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. Well, God intends for us to step out of our natural abilities and our stinking thinking and our parameter way of living, boxed in by our own thoughts and desires and how we think it ought to be, and step into the supernatural. It's time to cross over from the natural to the spiritual. We are spiritual beings. We are not natural beings. Now, we have flesh. We still live in the nasty now and now. But our seat is in the heavenlies. If you don't believe it, read Ephesians, where Paul says, you are seated with him in heavenly places. And I go back to identity theft. The devil has stolen that from us. He's a squatter. He's a trespasser, sitting in our seat of authority. And God says, this is your seat. You're seated in heavenly places. So act like it in the physical realm. Some storms are not accidents. They're invitations to the demonstration of his power. I told you I didn't like technology. Storms are not necessarily the discipline of God. They are the means of development of God that God uses in our life. When Jesus got up in the boat, he said, okay, I'll take care of this one too. What did he do? He didn't pray a long, lengthy prayer, did he? He didn't yell at the storm, like was their custom in some things in those days, was to, if you yell loud enough, the demons will flee. Let me tell you something. Because you carry the authority of God, you can just speak to a demon and they have no choice but to leave. So Jesus stood up and said, peace be still. And the wind calmed. And it says they were on the other side. And what did they encounter when they got on the other side? They were in the land of the Gadarenes, and here comes this screaming maniac, demon-possessed individual that lived in the tombs and brought confrontation. And Jesus again just spoke. Cross over from your natural ability to your supernatural, God-given authority and ability. This is the time. This is the day of the crossing over. This is the year of crossing over. 2015 was a year of preparation, and a lot of preparation was done. 2016 is a year of the coming to pass. It's a year of shifting. It's a year of God having a moment with you. Look for that moment. Look for that divine encounter in your life. God is going to whisper to you in your storm. There's going to be a moment that's going to change your life. It's going to change your future. This is a time for crossing over. We never lived in such a tumultuous time in our world today. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And every one of you here, you're not just church members. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a calling. Well, I thought being called was only for preachers. No, you have a call. There's a call on your life. Whether you're in school teaching kids, whether you're in the labor force on the job, whether you're selling groceries or driving a taxi cab or whatever you're doing, there is a call on your life to share Jesus. We are all called. There's nobody like you. You are unique, and there is a purpose for your life, and God has a destiny prepared for you. And not only that, but he has a pathway of promise after promise after promise that he has prepared for you to walk until you reach your destiny. Sound like a good deal? It is a good deal. That's the beautiful thing about grace. There's no currency. You don't have the currency to buy the grace of God. Never have, never will have it. You in your own effort and your own ability cannot get it, and you cannot keep it. It is by God. It is by his power. It is the grace of God working in your life. And it enables you with his divine ability to be all he's called you to be and do all that he wants you to do. In John 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." Now here's what I want to do. I want the worship team to come back. And Jay, I know you said that they weren't going to, but I'm going to mess up the program. Is that okay? That's what a visiting preacher can do, right, Jimmy? You come in, blow the place up, and I'll be in Dallas by 9 o'clock tonight, and so y'all can't do anything about it. Jay will have to clean up the mess. But they're going to come and sing that song, Broken Vessels. And I'm going to be right down here, and I want you to just come. You're not coming to sign up for anything. You're not coming to make a profession of faith. However, you can do that if you want to. But what I want to do is just speak one word to you, life. And let God, remember I said, we're going to do this. We're to agree as touching anything. How many of you believe God wants abundant life for you? You want it today? This is your opportunity. Can you do it without me? Absolutely. But this is what God told me to do, so I'm going to do it. Is that all right? I'm going to stand right there, and you come, and I'm just going to touch you, maybe on the head, maybe on the shoulder, and just speak life. Is that okay? All right. Here we go.
Give him praise. Let's go and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing for a while. But, Lord, this feels like a very significant now moment. Lord, what was just imparted, I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that you would completely transform our senses, Lord God, so that we'd be so aware of your heart everywhere in our world, Father. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you've released something that is transformative. We love you, Jesus. We just ask this in your name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Somebody tell you, thank you, Jesus, in the house of God. Come on.